How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Hopefully everybody's doing good. Nice to be back. Sorry that we've been out of town a lot lately. I've been speaking a lot of different places, and so it's good to be back to my home church. So thanks for having us back. We're going to be starting a series. I'll get to that in just a few minutes. We'll dive in. I'm going to open our time in prayer. One thing I would ask of you this morning is if you would pray for me, actually. This sounds really crazy. But my son made a surprise visit before he took off to South Korea with the Air Force. And about a week, 10 days ago, I was working out with him, and I did something to my body that I'm not sure what I did yet. But they think I have like a slipped disc in my neck, and I pinched nerve in my back. And so if you're wondering if I walk around with my hand like this the whole time, it feels good right here, okay? I don't have feeling in some of my fingers. I have shooting pain down my left arm. And we got home from the ER last night at 3 a.m. this morning from the pain. So I'm a little loopy, too. So if I say something really crazy, hold it against me, and you can tell me about it later when I feel really good, okay? Like back to normal. All right, so. Well, I appreciate the encouragement. Thank you for that. So I've got 16 years till 60, so we'll see how the next 16 go. All right, let's open in prayer, you guys, and ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, thank you so much for your church. Thank you for the work that you're doing in River Valley Bible Church, Lord, collectively. Lord, the work that you're doing in our hearts individually as well. And as we come to this subject today, God, I pray that although it's not a deeply theological subject, God, it's something that we really need to consider when it comes to glorifying your name. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to apply these principles and the things that we talk about over the next weeks, that there would be a significant change, especially as we come into this next year, 2018, if Jesus doesn't return. I pray that we'd be very wise in this next year with what we talk about in the coming weeks. So, Lord, bless our time. May we honor your name in all that we say. And help us, Lord, to really dig into Scripture and to apply it to our lives. We need your help for that. And so we pray that that would happen in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, to start off this morning, before we bring it up, because we're going to have a lot of our stuff up here, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 10:31 to start. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And as we begin this morning, we're coming up on the year 2018. Can you guys believe that 2017 is, I don't know about you, it just blew by. For some of you, it's like, that's every year. But 2017, it's like I blinked and we're already at the end here. Thanksgiving's coming up and then Christmas. 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says this, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." The subject matter that I want to tackle in the next coming weeks through November and December, we want to be able to glorify God in this. And quite frankly, it's a subject that I don't find us talking about in the church very often. And maybe when you understand what this is, you're going to say to yourself, I don't think I've ever heard this really talked about in church, because I haven't very much. And I haven't taught on it very much. For some of you that know, my wife and I are involved in the ministry that we're involved in helping pastoral culture. So our ministry is called the E3 Connection. And one of the things that we focus on is equipping or training. And a number of weeks ago, I had a friend of mine. He's the executive director of a ministry in Illinois called Cadre Ministries. They are exclusively an equipping ministry for churches. He works with over 1,400 churches, and he has a staff of 5 that serve those churches, okay, all around the country. Well, he and I we are actually collaborating, and he's giving us material to equip the church as well. And he's actually going to be out here in January. I'm going to get him into churches, and he's going to be bringing Cadre Ministries out west. He's essentially in the Midwest right now. He lives in a place called Peoria, Illinois, if you've ever heard of that. Yeah. You went to school there? Wow, okay.
How will it play in Peoria?
What'd you say?
How will it play in Peoria?
I don't know. I don't know. But so we're collaborating, and so the material that we're going to be using actually is from Cadre Ministries. You can look them up sometimes, C-A-D-R-E, Cadre Ministries, and that's the material we're going to be looking at. Would you bring that up on the screen, Pastor Craig? And if you guys want to hand out the notes, anybody that wants notes, you can raise your hand right now. Are you the clicker, Craig?
I'll be the clicker.
All right, go ahead and click that.
What's that?
You can go ahead and click that.
Well,
It's not cooking.
You're stuck with me.
Well,
this could be a longer clock.
All right, this is what we're talking about. Here you go. Ready? The title is this: Time Management for Painfully Pooped Out People. Now, some of you are like, man, I'm not painfully pooped out. I don't know what you're talking about. Here's what I want you to know, and I really want you to think about this. Okay. How often do we go to God about our schedule? How often do we pray about, and when we think about our schedule, we ask God all about how we should live our lives this coming day, this coming week, this coming month, and this coming year. So as we get into 2018, that's what I want to challenge you guys to think about. And for you guys that are retired, you seniors, I know a lot of us in America, this is what we're talking in American culture, we work hard and then we retire. But I want to really challenge your thinking, and I'm not here to make you mad at me. But what I find in American culture is sometimes people, when they retire from everything. When I really talk to them. And the question is, when you stand before God and you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, let me tell you something. When it comes to our time, we want to glorify God in the way that we use our time. Because if God's given us breath, he's given us breath to live, and he's given us breath to live a certain way. And I got to tell you, in American culture, sometimes we can get really wrapped up in us. And even in Christians, even good, well-meaning, intended Christians, and I'm speaking to myself right now, how often I haven't included God in my schedule. And as I've been working through the material, I'm using Cadre Ministries' outline of the 10 biblical principles that we'll go through, but I've added in a lot of my own stuff. And I got to tell you, I was so heavily convicted in my own life in a certain area. And when we get there, I'll tell you exactly where I felt convicted, because I'm extremely weak in that area. So that's the challenge as we get into this, as we work our way through the material this morning and in the coming weeks, is to consider asking God how we can join him in what he has planned for us. And not just living life, not considering God. Okay? So maybe you don't have a problem with that, but a lot of times I don't seek God about my schedule. And so we want to do it God's way. And if we don't do it God's way, oftentimes what we find is that we are painfully, as Bill Allison says, pooped out. Okay? All right, next slide. All right, click again. What's going on here? This is going to be interactive, okay? So I want to hear from you guys, too. Anybody want to tell me what's going on here? All right, we'll have a raise of hands here.
We just try to keep everything going at the same time.
Okay. So what's the relatable, what's the connection point to time management then there? Anybody?
Well, you've got to give.
Go.
You've got to give each one of those things a certain amount of time to keep them all going.
Okay.
Or you'll spin out of control.
Okay. Do you sense that if he has to keep those things going, there's a certain amount of pressure there? Yes.
You can't try too many plates because there is a physical impossibility.
Okay.
People will rush between so many plates.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
He's going to have to make a choice.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
The plates dictate a schedule.
That's true. Very good. He looks a little nervous to me, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just focus. I'm not sure. Brooke?
I think eventually he's going to be exhausted.
Okay.
It's going to fail.
Okay.
He's looking for an escape route.
A little overwhelmed, yeah? Okay, good. Everything's good, yeah.
Looks like chaos.
Looks like chaos, yeah. Chaos, hopefully in control, right? Okay. Anybody else?
It looks like he has to perform in front of a lot of people.
Looks like a lot of people are watching him, huh? Yeah.
You have to be good at multitasking.
Okay. Yeah, really good at that point, right?
It's eventual failure.
Okay. Eventually, some of them will just start dropping, right? Okay. Very good. Anybody else?
Sometimes I feel.
Sometimes you do, yeah, exactly. All right, click away. Let's see what comes up next. Why can we be painfully pooped out people? Why? That's a picture of my family. For those of you who may not know, that's my wife and my kids. Having a family, that alone sometimes can just wipe you out. I was talking to a friend this weekend. They just had their sixth child. And when they came home, the other five kids have the flu. And I was talking to the dad yesterday. Mom and new baby are in the master bedroom. And dad gets to clean up all the throw up right now. And he said to me in text, "I am absolutely exhausted. Please pray for me." And he's painfully pooped out right now just with his family alone besides his other responsibilities. But why can we be painfully pooped out people? What do you think? What do we do to ourselves to cause that?
Plan too much.
What'd you say?
We stretch ourselves to...
Have too many plates going?
Too many things going on at one time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Sometimes we try to please everyone.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Don't know how to say no.
Don't know how to say no. Okay, good. Anybody else? Okay. Very good. All right, let's click away. Now, if we don't get through all of the material, you're not going to throw oranges and stuff at me, right? We're going to just take it. We want everybody to understand what's going on. Okay, here's the amazing time crunch stress scale. Okay, you can go from meltdown. That's my meltdown is the child on the left. I don't know if you've ever experienced that with your children before. It's a little meltdown. You got tired there. There's the kitty that's tired. You got the survival mode. And, of course, joyful and zest. So, you know, you can kind of, in just in your own mind, figure out where you're at on that scale right there. And I know, for me, depending on my season and what's going on with me, I can hit different things at different times, right? Okay, so you guys can kind of figure that out. All right, go ahead and click. Where are you? Right now. Somebody want to share where they're at? A little vulnerability, a little transparency here. Anybody want to share about being meltdown or cracking? We don't want you to crack in front of us, but we'll try to help you out as best we can.
Maybe cracking.
Cracking?
But whatever the next stage after that is.
Tired?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shot.
Okay, yeah.
Ain't got no more left.
Yes. Okay. Been there. Running on empty. Yeah. Fumes? Certainly. And it's times like that. And that's why I think this is an important, actually, subject, time management. It's good to go to God about things if we're contributing to some of the things that are going on in our own schedule. I'm kind of type A, so I can take on too much, and I can overwhelm myself. And then what happens to me is I can become cynical and tired and cracking a meltdown all at one time. And depending on the person around me, and here's what's really unfortunate, those that are closest to me, like my children and wife, will get the brunt of that. And then I'll come here at church and go, "Hey, how's it going? Jesus loves you," right? Is that how it goes sometimes, right? And we're about ready to crack or melt down, but it's in certain front of certain people we act certain ways. A lot of that has to do with how comfortable we are. Anybody want to share, though, where they're at? All right, we'll move on. I think as we go through the material, we'll have a little bit more people sharing a little bit where you're at. This is what I hear people say. If I just had a little bit more time. Okay? Let's think about this practically. Okay? How many hours in a day? Okay? How, you know, we have 7 days a week. We all have 12 months in a year, right? We all have the same amount of time. And so when you hear, or if you've ever said this, I have been guilty many times, "I need more time." Is that an accurate assessment?
No.
No. But something needs to change. Is it the time that needs to change?
No.
No, because that's not going to happen, correct? Okay, so.
Until time changes.
Until time changes? Yeah. That was last week, Kanban. Yeah, that messed everything up. I know. That hour back messed everything up. All right, next clip. Let's look at the truth. The truth is, no one can get more time. Okay? That's not possible. So what we have to look at is the time that God does give us, how are we going to use the time that God gives us for His glory? Like I said, it's good to go to God about our schedule. And this is where I've been convicted about for myself just lately going through this material. Now I want to start off the day and I want to ask the Lord. There are going to be things that are out of my control that even though I can schedule, there's unplanned things that happen in life. Like when you mess up your neck and your back and it messes up everything, right? Okay? You just got to deal with it. But there are other things I think we can go to God and join God in what he wants us to do. And oftentimes I'm guilty of not going to God and asking him what he wants me to join him in for my week. Okay? Next click. The implication is this. You must prioritize or you can drown. Okay? You can be overwhelmed with all of those plates spinning. And as they start falling, then the stress rises and things like that. And so, as long as we understand, like I said, this is not something that's going to be over the top. We are going to get into Scripture. Some of you are like, where's the Bible stuff? Okay, we're going to get there. But through this study, it's not going to be deeply theological. My hope and prayer is this, that as you enter 2018, you enter 2018 differently considering God in your schedule. That's been my prayer for this whole church. Okay? At some point, we're going to be moving into a new building. Okay? And that's going to dictate our schedule to a little bit. We're going to be able to actually expand our ministries in some ways. Okay? And so, added responsibilities and different things like that, I think it's a good season to start considering some of these things. All right, next click. Click again. Time management really is not time management. It's really me management. You can cross out the T and the I. Because you can't manage really time. It's really about managing yourself before the Lord. And going to him and saying, Lord, how do you want me to use the time that you've given me? Because God is the one who gives us the breath of life. God is the one who has considered our days. He knows when we're going to go see him. And we have to give an account of the time that he's given us. And if we're going to stand before him, like I said, and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, I actually think that has a lot to do with the way that we spend our time. And I think that you can waste your time, I think you can spend your time, or you can invest your time, like money, right? You can waste it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Okay, that's how I look at time as well, just like money. All right, next click. All right. The more things change, the more they stay the same to a certain degree. So what are some lessons that we learn from these incredible pictures right here? Jeff?
Don't overload yourself.
Don't overload yourself, okay? Anybody else?
What is the plane doing?
The plane was overloaded and it collapsed on the back.
It's not taking off.
No, it's not going to go anywhere for a long time. No. Sorry, FedEx. Anybody else? What do you think here? This is good for our observation skills.
I didn't say FedEx, it says federal.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, Peter.
Anybody see anything else? What do we learn here?
Well, if you overload yourself, you're not going anywhere.
Okay, good. If you overload yourself, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. Okay.
Try to do too much in the short time that you have.
Okay. Good.
Overload yourself can be detrimental to others.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think that's a horse, but whatever it is, poor thing. Jeff.
And going from the old car to the plane, there's nothing new under the sun. Man has been dealing with this since the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. Very good.
If you try to do too much, you can't do anything well.
Okay. Good. Very good observations. Anybody else? Yeah.
As a pilot, you have to be aware of weight and balance.
Okay. Looks like there's some issues. Yeah.
That looks like a mule, and a mule may not be as heavy as a horse.
Okay.
No, I think it's a donkey.
Donkey. It's an animal. We'll just go there, all right? Yeah. All right, next slide. Next question. So why do we allow this kind of stuff to happen, do you think? Is it we're not paying attention? I mean, what's going on here?
Poor planning.
Poor planning, okay.
In a hurry,
okay. John's just smiling. He's not saying a word.
Done in a matter of an hour.
Okay, very good.
Half the things.
Sure.
It's a learning
situation.
Okay, hopefully we learn from it, right? Yeah, yeah, good. Anybody else?
You know, for me, I want to do, I guess you kind of have to come to the acceptance that you can't do everything and figure out what those things are that you do well, mm-hmm. and do them well. But I kind of I want to do, like, my heart, I hear some need here.
Yes.
I want to fill that. This person needs encouragement. I'd like to write them a letter. I need to teach my kids, you know.
Yep.
The Wednesday night, we have, you know, sports, and you want to do it all, but you do, everybody has to make that, those choices.
Yeah.
Good. So I'd want to be that, you know, like, and, you know,
sure.
It doesn't work out.
I get it. All right, next question, Craig. Why might we resist managing our time well? Now, we may not look at it that way, like we're not managing our time well, but when stuff like this happens, why might we resist changing things? Yeah.
I get stuck in a rut.
Okay. I love how the you couples keep looking at each other over and over again, and no one says anything. They just smile at each other. That's great. Yeah.
Because we want to feel we're in control.
Okay.
Us.
Okay.
So
very good.
I can do this.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
It's a pride thing as well.
Okay.
Just not wanting to admit that you can't accomplish things that maybe you were able to accomplish in the past. Mm-hmm. Never really could, but never wanted to in the first place.
Yeah, that's good. John?
It's possible, I guess, that we see that if we manage our time, it's too much for time.
Mm.
It's good. It costs us more time to sit down and plan it and just to go do it.
Yeah, that's good. Yes?
I can see in this that there's probably outside pressure too.
Mm-hmm.
People want all this stuff at a certain time, and so you're, you know, under a lot of pressure from outside.
Deadlines and different things. Right, good. Very, very good.
We're people pleasers and don't want to say no.
Okay. Well, I've been there, yeah.
Driving truck, you know, you try to explain, I go 64 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to take 3 hours to load. They don't want to hear it.
No.
They
just want the product.
They don't want to hear it.
Right. No, I can only imagine that, yeah, that's for sure. All right, next slide. This is what we call Parkinson's Law. Very, very interesting. Go ahead and bring that up, Craig. Work expands to fill the time available. Now, I want you to really think about this because it's very true oftentimes. Work expands to fill the time available. Can somebody tell me what they think that means?
Well, you can draw out work. You can make it take longer.
Okay. That's true. I've known people like that, yeah.
Well, if you don't control your time, things will always find a way to keep filling it in so you become maximized. It's just life.
And that's when you find oftentimes people say, I need more time, right?
Do it right the first time.
That's always helpful, right? Do it right the first time. What do you think? Work expands to fill the time available. Yeah.
Well, we like to do quality. We feel better when we do quality work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to make compromises on the quality of that work because of the time available.
Okay.
And if we had a little more time and if it's something we want done, we'll probably fill that time to kind of make the job done better.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel better about what we've done if it's a quality job.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm going to admit to you, as a type A, this is my offense to this law right here. Oftentimes, in the past especially, I'm getting a little wiser as I get older. I just said a little, okay? Anytime I get any available time, I've oftentimes filled that extra time with work. More work. And that's kind of a law here. I mean, when we're really in certain seasons of life, instead of really going before the Lord, who's the one, if you get available time, who's the one that's gifted that to you? The Lord. So the question to you and to me is this: Lord, how should I fill the available time that you have given me? And you know what? Here's my confession to my own body right here is this. Almost 100% of the time with the available time that God frees up to me, I have not gone to Him and asked. I've just taken it upon myself to do whatever I think I need to do. Now, it may align itself with the will of God. I'm not saying it, you know, every time I get it wrong. But I will admit to you, probably not every time I get it right. And so I want to glorify God with the time that He's given me. So just something to think about. All right, next click. We are all busy, but many of us are not busy doing that which is truly important. Meaning we got to go to God with what that is. Okay, next statement. Many of us ignore that which is truly important, meaning whatever God wants us to do, and let that which is truly urgent dictate our time and lives. Would you agree or disagree? For the most part, yeah. Right? Okay, next click. All right, perhaps you've seen this before. This is a quick illustration we'll give real quick. But a college professor walked into the classroom one day and pulled out a large clear container. Next click. And this is it. I don't know if you've seen this done before or not. Has anybody seen this before?
Yes.
This represents different things in our lives. So you have the big rocks, you have the little rocks, and you have the sand. And oftentimes what the illustration is, they'll put in the sand first into the container, they'll put in the little rocks into the container, and then you can only get about half of the big rocks in. But if you reverse that and put all the big rocks in first, then the little rocks, and then the sand, everything fits into the container. And so, next click, the question is this. What are the big rocks in your life? The things that you really need to be dedicating yourself to time-wise. And only you can answer that. We're going to answer that for you as we go through some of the material. But next click. What gravel and sand is squeezing out the big rocks in your life? Because see, sometimes it does get down to whatever's urgent. And we're not really thinking and praying things through as to what we get to. It's just the next urgent thing. And what goes on the back burner oftentimes are things like this. If you're married, it's your spouse. If you have children, it's your children. When there are certain seasons of life, okay, where we get to all these other things and relationships. How about this? This is an amazing thing that's happened to me many times. Our relationship with God. God goes on the back burner. And here's my mistake. Here's my sin. I oftentimes would put ministry, doing things for God. Remember, we talked about this when I preached here. Doing stuff for God rather than being with God. But I'm running around doing all this stuff for God, and yet I'm not hanging out with Him.
Why wouldn't you be included in what you're preaching?
Why wouldn't I be included in what I'm preaching? Because oftentimes, like it's already been said, we've got deadlines with things. I've got to get my sermon done. And so I'm studying, but I'm not spending quality time with Jesus, okay? I got to go do this for this person, go to the hospital and pray for this person. I've got to teach this. I got to go there. I'm just admitting to you, and I don't know of a pastor that doesn't struggle with it at times, at certain seasons. I can't speak for Craig, but I'll speak for every other pastor, okay? Because I don't want to get in trouble. So, you know, I mean, come on. I'm not stupid. But to have that balance, Bonnie, it's difficult. For anybody, who walks with God consistently, there are going to be times that God is on the back burner. You know why? Because I think all of us are guilty who have spouses. Our spouses sometimes, and it may be a certain seasons, but my wife's come to me very bluntly, transparently, and said, you know what? I feel like there are more important things in your life than me. I've been called out. Maybe you've never been called out. Good for you. I've been called out, I won't say hundreds, but I'll say dozens, probably dozens of times in 22 years, my wife's come to me and said, you know, I just feel like all these other things or people are getting more attention and I need you right now. And so it centers me back. Okay? And oftentimes it's because even that gets to my relationship with the Lord. Now, maybe you're different, but...
It's just when you're studying, making your sermon, you're relating to God
true.
At that time.
True. Yeah. And some people count it as the same. Craig, do you count your personal time and your study time the same?
No.
Okay, neither do I. It's different.
Although I get application from both.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. When we study for sermons, you guys, and Craig, you can rebuke me here. I think it just depends on the person. When I study to give a sermon, I study to give a sermon or a lesson for all of us. But when I sit down personally, it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's me and God. And God, are there things in my life that you need to direct me to confess my sin? There are things in my life I need you to guide me to personally. It's a personal relationship. It'd be like going to my dad and having a conversation one-on-one or going to my family. Okay? It can be the same conversation, but it's a different kind of a context. And so we're a family. The church is a family, you guys, brothers and sisters in Christ. And as somebody gets up to teach or preach, When Craig goes before God on our behalf to bring us a message, he's included in that message, but we're all included. And that's going to look differently in the way that you talk to God. But when you sit down with him personally, and it's not River Valley Bible Church, but it's Craig and it's Jesus. There are things that God, I think, will talk to Craig about that may not be for all of us. It could be the same, but anyway, that's how I look at it. Yeah?
I'm going with Bonnie, Derek.
You're going with Bonnie, the same.
I'm going with Bonnie because I have found that when I am preparing for teaching.
Yes, sir.
For sure. Just for them. So it's not all the time, but there are times
I agree.
Where that will point out something in my own life.
Yes.
Should I really be teaching this? I got it under control.
Yeah, and when I started off today, I said one of the first things I said is I was heavily convicted in an area. So God can certainly speak to us personally as we get something to bring corporately, but
every
that's
week.
Right.
So I think there's the both and to it.
I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So when we talk about dedicating our time to something, there are things when we talk about big rocks that we should consider, and we're going to look at that today. All right, next slide. So time and life management is about putting God's big boulders in first. Those big boulders. Well, what are they? We're going to get to them. All right, next click. Jesus said this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So when we consider our time and the time that God gives us as a gift from God, we're to seek first his kingdom. And that would be different than my kingdom or what I see as, you know, of what's most important oftentimes. All right, next click. So click again. What are the components of good time and life management? We're going to be over in the next 6, 7, 8 weeks. We're going to look at 10 different principles. All right, next click. And those 10 principles have to do with 3 strategies, okay? Prioritize, plan, and protect. And the first two go with prioritize. So next click, it's this. We're going to look at ponder the brevity of life often, and also prioritize the relationships of Jesus. And that's really, really interesting and convicting as well. All right, next click. You go from prioritize to plan, and that has to do with these next two biblical principles. Proactively schedule biblical priorities and plan your ideal day. And then the last one is protect, and there are 6 principles that go along with that. Next click. Say no to time wasters. Say no to good things. Maximize non-productive windows. Understand your season of life, because that's different for everybody. Seek a biblical balance and live the reflective life. So that's what we're going to be looking at, those 10 principles in the next coming weeks, all right? All right, you can click on the next one. So here it is. Go ahead and click for the verse. Very interesting verse. Now, we've been through the Psalms, I know. Psalm 90, here it is again. Very interesting. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. That's good, because I don't have a lot of strength right now. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Really, really good words, you guys. Great words when it comes to time and prioritizing our time. All right, next click. Go again. So here's time management principle number 1. Ponder the brevity of life often. It says in those verses that our days are 70 years or 80. And so God has designated all of us a certain amount of time. And really the reality is we don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how much time I have left. And so with...
What brevity mean?
Huh?
What does brevity mean?
Anybody want to explain what brevity means?
Brief. Short.
Good. Excellent. Life is short. I just said, where did 2017 go? Now, you know, as I get older, I'm clocking off, like, decades now. Where'd that decade go? You guys doing the same? Some of you are like, I'm doing 25s. What are you talking about? Right? I mean, we all do that. When I was 10, I remember turning 10 and going, wow, I'm a decade old. I'm old. Like, I remember being 10 going, wow, I'm a whole decade. It was the coolest thing. It was 1983. It was the coolest thing to be 10 years old, right? I'm thinking, what happened in the last 20 years? I'm looking at my kids. What happened in the last 20 years of my life? So life is short. Correct?
Yeah.
For you guys that are older than me, has your life just, you remember being my age or 20, right? And people saying to you, it's going to go by so fast. I say that, my buddy who had this kid this last weekend, I said, man, enjoy your kids right now when they're small, because you're going to, I said, you're going to blink, and they're going to be in college. And he laughed, and he said, yeah, right, we're changing diapers, we're doing this, because that's his season of life right now. So we're going to ponder that often. All right, here's the thought with that. Go ahead and click again. It is healthy to constantly remind ourselves that life is short, and that we must intentionally and proactively make the most of our short time on earth. And the way that you do that is you seek God with time. How he wants you to use your time. For what? For his glory. Obviously for your good, but for his glory. And what can help us do that is when we remember that life is short. We only have so much time on this earth. And the question is, how do I want to spend my time to glorify God and the God who's given me time to use to glorify his name? All right? All right, next click. Would somebody like to read Psalms 39, 4, and 5 for me? Anybody want to volunteer to read that? Get a reader? Yeah, go ahead in the back.
Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it.
Hmm. Any comments about these verses? What we're talking about here. True? God's word is true, amen? All right, next one, please. So how can pondering the brevity of life help us stay focused on what really matters in life? And what I have for you, I decided to throw my car in there, a picture of my car. Hey, you can see it later. But what do people focus on? They focus on money, they focus on cars, they focus on houses, and they focus on, well, my wife, clothes. No, I'm just kidding. My wife doesn't focus on clothes. Stuff, right? Okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. But here's where I would challenge all of our thinking. Is what would God have for us focus on? What does he want us to focus on? Does God want us to focus on these things when life is short? Something to consider. Okay, next slide or next click. Go again. Okay, how can pondering the brevity of life help us stay focused on what really matters in life? Number one, it can keep us from confusing activity with productivity. What do I mean by that? Somebody want to explain that to me? Jeff.
Being busy.
Busy bee, right? And you can be busy and not really be productive, correct? And a lot of that has to do with how we're managing our time. Okay, next one. It can keep us from giving into the urgent and ignoring that which is truly important. When we ponder the brevity of life, hey, man, I don't know. Here's the thing, you guys. I don't know if I'm going to be here. I hate to discourage my kids here. But the Lord could choose to take me home in 2018. I don't know when that is. So the question is, how do I want to live my life? If life is short, and I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, Derek, you did good, then that has to do with the way that I managed my time and filled my time and glorified God. It does. It has everything to do with that. All right, this is a verse that is interesting. Go ahead and bring that up. Better to spend your time at funerals than parties. After all, everyone dies, so the living should take this to heart. Somebody want to explain to me, what does that mean? Yeah?
Instead of concerning yourself with everything that gratifies you, take heed, at a funeral and everybody's pondering death, and you're going to take stock of the time that you have left.
Okay. Good. Yeah?
Instead of just kind of living it up, kind of a lot of the mentality of people is just to party it up constantly all the time while the time lasts. But at a funeral, a lot of people there reflecting on death, think about their own lives and just kind of look back and don't find a lot of satisfaction in it. And just taking it to heart, kind of brings it back to, well, what really matters? What should I have been doing this entire time?
Mm. Good. Yeah. Anybody else? Do you think the author is saying go hang out at funerals all the time? No? Well, I know in performing or helping people out with funerals as a pastor, oftentimes you do talk about the fact that life is short with people. And for the first time for some, they're actually considering what's next. And they haven't considered it at all. They've just been considering the parties. And so death is something that causes people to pause. Some people, it's very uncomfortable. It's the last place that they want to go to in their mind is to think about the fact that their life will end because they're so focused on themselves and moving up the corporate ladder or whatever it is. And it's all about them. Some people don't like it, but it's there. It's at those funerals where we begin to think about the brevity of life, that life is short. Because I've done funerals for a date, 1-day-year-old. The casket was this big. And his name's Eric. He was holding the casket like this, weeping as he came up when we were going to bury his child. The night before, she was going to be induced, healthy baby. And the cord got wrapped around that night. She felt the baby stop moving, didn't think it was a big deal, went in, she gave birth, and it was dead. Okay? And those kinds of things, unfortunately, the parents were unsaved. And so they hated God because of that. They really struggled. We had to walk with them during that time. But those are those kinds of things that cause us to pause. And that's what I think God's talking about right there. All right, next slide. So here's a question for you. What do you want on your tombstone? What do you think people are going to go ahead and click that, Craig? Here lies Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Okay, you've seen things like this, right? Next one. Here lies Johnny Yeast, pardon me for not rising. All right, next one. Here lies Lester Moore, 4 slugs from a .44, no less, no more. Okay, those are kind of levity. Here's, this next statement is actually very chilling, and I'll explain to you why. Go ahead and bring it up. Live in such a way that no one will have to lie at your funeral. And I have been to funerals, and I'm thinking of a family member. I went to the funeral, and they lied the entire time. And I'll tell you what, that is heavily convicting. It should convict all of us by the way that we're living for the Lord. I mean, can you imagine, maybe you've been to those, have you been to a funeral before where people are not being honest about the person that is now deceased? It is something very, it's a fascinating thing to be a part of. And I remember having a conversation with my own parents about a family member, and it was horrifying. But live in such a way that no one will have to lie at your funeral. And when we live for the glory of God, we put before Him even our schedule and say, God, how do you want me to live life for you? And to live in such a way where I glorify you by even my schedule, something as simple as that is, I don't think that we have to worry about that statement at the end. All right, next slide. Anybody want to share? Now, this may be a brag session, right? No, I don't want it to be a brag session. But what are the types of things to honor God that you would want people to say about you? And the question is, are they able to say something about you in that way because that's the way you're living your life now? And if not, then you adjust toward that. But what are the kinds of things that you'd want people to say about you at your funeral? Anybody want to share?
Not about myself, but a friend of mine died, and she had said before she died, and I don't know if this got out of the tombstone or not, but she said, I just
Amen. Good. Somebody else?
You've given comfort to someone?
Okay. So you've given comfort to someone?
I don't know how you put that on the tombstone.
Well, I guess you could put that right on the tombstone if you wanted to.
I guess.
You could. Yeah.
They love the Lord.
Okay. They love the Lord.
You hear of somebody, that's somebody who really loves the Lord.
Okay. Good.
Or made a difference for the Lord.
Made a difference for the Lord. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Child of God.
Child of God. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yeah?
There's someone who lived out their salvation.
Okay, they lived out their salvation? Huh?
I would hope that people would view me as having been a good father raising my children in the Lord.
Good. Absolutely. That honors God. Does it not? I mean, that honors God. Absolutely. Anybody else?
Shall I see you in heaven?
See you in heaven. That's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I mean, for me personally, I would want people, I would hope that they wouldn't really talk about me very much at all. I would hope that they would just say he dedicated his life to the Lord, you know, serving God. loving God, whatever that looks like, serving God, hopefully being a good husband and father. You can ask my children and my wife later, but you know what I mean? Those kinds of things. All right, next slide. We're going to end with this next one. Just notice this verse. It's a scary verse. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. No one was sorry when he died. No one? You know, Scripture is accurate, okay? So God knows the heart of every man. God says no one was sorry when he died, okay? So as we get into this, I'm going to wrap up right now and pray, and we didn't get all through this lesson, and you can throw the oranges later at me. Keep your notes for next week, and we will continue going through this stuff. But this week, I want you to consider that life is short, and I want you to consider this. Lord, how do you want me to spend the time that you give me for your glory? How can I maximize your glory in the time that you've given me, and may I consider you when I consider my schedule? Because life's short. And if we consider that, I think we honor God. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the fact that you've given us the breath of life to live, Lord, for your glory and the good of others. May we consider you this week as we consider our schedule and the things that we do. And Lord, I pray that we would not only be a blessing to you, but as we walk in what you have for us according to this week, that we would be a blessing to other people. Thank you for people and their participation today. Lord, help us to apply these things this week and to consider them. We pray these things in Jesus' name.